Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're healed by his stripes. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I receive it. Glory to God. Would you grab your swords, please? Lift your swords up to heaven today. Now, this is the letter that becomes a sword out of your mouth. Amen? So this is the letter that brings revelation to you by the Spirit. But this is the letter. These are guidelines. And comes out of your mouth, the sword of the Spirit. The Word says that the letter is written within us. Is it written in your heart? So if you're walking in the Spirit, you will know what the Word really is, even if you've never read it. See, the disciples didn't have the Bible. They had the Spirit. Amen? So if you're really walking in the Spirit, you'll know what this means because you'll have confirmation in your spirit when you read this. This is not just a book. These are records of the things that God has done, what he has said, and what the apostles have done by the Spirit of God. So when we read this, we are actually getting confirmation by the Spirit. So it's being taught to us. But one of the things we always want to seek first, the Bible says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. So you go to him first. Then he brings you to his word. And you get confirmation. So what we're going to do right now, we've already gone to him, haven't we? Now he's going to bring us to his word that we can have confirmation. And when it is spoken out of the mouth of his Spirit, it becomes a sword of the Spirit. And it penetrates your spirit, soul, and body. It brings true light to remove the carnal light. Hello. And it will bring healing, it will bring deliverance, it will bring encouragement, and it brings new life. It brings revelation to us, which is something that is revealed by God Almighty that has either been hidden or been established that we've not known. Or something that the enemy might be doing right now that God wants to expose. Or something that God is doing right now that he wants to reveal. And the Word tells us that we go from glory to glory or from revelation to revelation. And without revelation, there's no restraint of the flesh. That's why we have to have revelation to restrain the flesh. So Lord, we believe your word and we ask for the Holy Spirit, the anointing to teach us today. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
Psalm 24. Hallelujah. Psalm 24. Start at verse 1, please. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. So the earth is the Lord's. What he's saying, he says, he's the owner. He's the owner. And the people is what he's created. The things on the earth. So he's the owner of the earth and he's created the people. Watch. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters, or what they call the rivers. And it says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. The word clean hands means external. In other words, not touching things unclean. The area of pure heart means internal. Who has not lifted up his soul to a what? An idol. That word idol means desire that's not of God. Nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive what? Blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Well, he's given us a guideline of how he's going to come in, and he's going to dwell with those people who have clean hands and a pure heart. It's going to allow you a place in his holy habitation. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in what? Battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. Again, it says that the earth is the Lord, his owner. The people is what he's created. He is their creator. And he's warning those who dwell on the earth not to touch the unclean and to keep the heart pure from idols. And these idols promote desires, and they cause a turn away from his righteousness. Do I need to repeat that? Is everybody okay? So these idols will turn you away from his righteousness. In other words, so there is an unseen influence to sway you from the righteous position of God. Has everybody got that? But he's warning us that being on the earth, there is an unseen force that is trying to prevent you from maintaining position in the righteousness of Christ. One of the things that the unseen force does not want you to do is know the truth. Because when you and I were born into this realm, we were born in slavery. We are born blinded. We are born as offsprings of darkness. And we are born into this realm not knowing where we came from, not knowing where we were going, and not knowing why we were here. And that's what we sought from the moment we were able to comprehend. I'll never forget one day I was driving down the road. This was this last year. And I got lost in, I was worshiping the Lord, and I got lost in the presence of God while I was driving. It's okay. It was a straight road. And I saw, and there was no buildings, just trees on both sides. And all of a sudden I saw the moon. I mean, and it was, you know, it was still daylight out. It was, you know, just in between getting twilight. And I saw the moon. And all of a sudden I freaked out. I said, oh my God, I'm on the earth. I mean, for a split second, I was gone, and I realized, whoa, I'm on the earth. And then everything came back again. But for that split moment, I sensed that I was from another place, and I found myself on the earth. And I said, whoa. And I can almost sense the Lord almost giggling in the background, you know, like, yeah, like, yeah. I was like, man, this is wild. I mean, I was, you know, I've never had that experience, especially while driving. And the area that I had sensed that I was from somewhere else, and looking at the moon and realizing, oh my God, I'm on the earth. How did I get here? You know, not thinking about I was as a baby, as a child birthed, and that had nothing to do with it. It was all of a sudden, oh, I'm on the earth. Felt like the man that fell to the earth, you know? And I began to, and other things began to happen, and I began to realize, oh my gosh, there's something. You know, there's so much more important about us than just being on the earth. You know, God could have picked anywhere, but he chose to make the earth a place of his dwelling, where his offspring would dwell. But he warned us about a force in this psalm, that there would be a force on this earth called the kingdom of darkness that would try to come against you and sway you every way he could in the area to promote a desire for an idol. and move you out of position. One of the things he doesn't want you to do is know the truth. And once you know the truth, he wants to steal it. That's what the powers of darkness want to do. Is everybody okay? So let's go to the original origin of this whole thing and go to Ezekiel 28. Ezekiel 28. And in verse 11, Ezekiel 28 and verse 11. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me? It says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord God." Now this is powerful, because the Lord is speaking to Ezekiel, and when God speaks, he speaks in past, present, and future. The word of God is written in three dimensions. And without the Holy Spirit, you'll never know what dimension he's speaking in. Past, present, and or future. But he's speaking to Ezekiel now, and he's saying, I want you to proclaim this, but I'm actually speaking. You may seem that I'm speaking to you in present, but what I'm doing is I'm revealing a mystery of past. Is everybody okay? Now let's read it. He says, "You were the what? Seal of perfection." We already know that there was no man to seal of perfection, except for Jesus. "Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, diamond and braille, onyx and jasper, sapphire, turquoise and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes were prepared for you on the day you were created." So you know that he is not talking about a man. He is talking about Lucifer, who was an archangel, one of them. There was three of them. So you hear you have a Lucifer who was the archangel, and he was a praise and worship leader of the universe. The mountain of God was known as the earth. And in this, God allowed Lucifer to be dressed with all the precious stones of the earth. Because at that time, he was given charge of the earth. The earth was inhabited by angels. And that's why he had, who was in the Garden of Eden? Lucifer, wasn't he? Amen. Although he was a serpent there. In verse 14, what does it say? "You are the what? Anointed cherub who covers." What's he cover? The earth with praise and worship. He said, "I established you." Remember, it said that the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes he prepared. Why? Because God used to breathe through Lucifer. And the music used to go through the universe. "You are the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God." What was the holy mountain of God? The earth. "You walk back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones." Why? Because Lucifer was here when God created the earth. The Bible says in Genesis 1:1, that in the beginning God created the heavens, meaning the spiritual arena, and the earth, meaning the physical arena, the natural realm. He said, "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created." So Lucifer was there when God created the earth. Lucifer was perfect. He was granted wisdom and beauty. He said, "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you." So Lucifer, praise and worship leader of the universe, was granted the archangel position. He had a third of the angels under his authority to maintain praise and worship to their creator through the universe, which brings his presence. Why? Because his presence is what upholds everything. So that's why the Bible says that we live and have our being in God. So there's still praise and worship going on through the universe. Are you listening? And it's still coming from the earth, but it's coming through me and you now. Has everybody got it? So the angels that were created at that time in the area, a third of them were created to maintain the universe with God's presence. It upholds the universe because his presence maintains it. And he wanted to, now Lucifer wanted to be like God, so he promoted himself above God. And then he was removed from office, authority, and put into a prison holding cell known as the earth. Now let's go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14. And we have a teaching called I think it's the six stages of the earth, and explains this all. Isaiah 14. Is everybody there? In verse 12, let's read this together. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend where? Into heaven. Why? Because where was he? He was on the earth. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet, here, this is a response of the Lord. I love this. You shall be brought down to hell. Sheol means hell. To the lowest depths of the pit. And those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble? Who shook kingdoms? Who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities? Who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them slept in glory. Everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of the evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children, because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with the cities or Satan's kingdom. See, Lucifer and his history is established here. The Lord foresaw that the rule of Lucifer, who would become Satan. So what did he have to do? That his presence and rule would influence, which is known as an unseen influence, to promote desires to idols and keep one blind of the truth. But the Lord promised here that Lucifer eventually would be destroyed, and he had to destroy because he foresaw his offsprings beginning to destroy the earth. Now remember that Lucifer has been sentenced to the earth. All right? And now that he's been sentenced to the earth, and his throne, of course, is in the pit. It's in the darkness of the earth. The Bible says in Genesis that the spirit hovered the face of the earth, and darkness was on the deep. Well, the deep meaning that's where Lucifer's throne was. So he has been sentenced to the earth in its atmosphere. Has everybody got it? So one of the things Lucifer wants to do, okay, so he started off as Lucifer. He disobeyed God. He wanted to exalt himself above God. It always starts off that he wants to be like God. And then it goes, okay, I can do better. And he exalted himself above God. So God removed him from his position, put him in the pit, sentenced him to the earth. Is everybody with me? So Lucifer's purpose then becomes the area where now God creates mankind. Now, mankind, he creates Adam and Eve, and he gives Adam and Eve the authority and dominion over the earth. Satan is sentenced to the earth. He is in the garden. He is now a serpent. So Lucifer becomes a serpent before he becomes Satan. Is everybody okay? Now, so you have the serpent who is in the garden. You got Adam and Eve who's in the garden, and Satan, or the serpent, is basically in a prison. The only thing he can speak from is that tree. He has no way of roaming in the garden. He is attached and chained to that tree because that's his fruit. Now he's looking to get released. So go to Genesis 3. Genesis chapter 3. So God creates man and puts him in charge. and Genesis 3 and verse 1. Is everybody okay? Would you read it with me, please? Now the serpent was what? More cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Why? Because it said he had the most, God granted him the wisdom. So he can outwit you in a second without the Spirit. And he said to the woman, as God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. So you can't eat it, and you can't touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. So he called God a liar. In verse 5, what does he say here? For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, this is powerful, because isn't this what happened to him? Didn't he want to be like God? And what happened to him? He got put in prison. So he knew what happened to him. Now, he was going to attempt the same thing to Adam or to Eve, because Adam wasn't going to take it. He spoke to Eve. So he was attempting to do the same identical thing that he fell to and lost the continence, his authority, and his character that God created him to be in position. And he got put into prison. And he knew that the only way out was to convince those who now held him in prison, who ruled over him, by convincing them to do the exact same thing he did. Does everybody see this? So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband. And of course, then he ate. Now, so that's when the serpent exchanged, and he actually put man in prison. And he was released from that prison, but he was still imprisoned to the atmosphere. Do you understand that? So the serpent was in prison, attempts to talk his way out by the same thing he fell to be like God in pride, not an offspring of God. He attempted with the woman, or his attempt with the woman was successful, and he used her to get the man or the head of the house, because then she went to Adam, and through the serpent, he deceived Adam. Now, the idol was the fruit, because one of the things that she said, see, Lucifer, or Satan was trying to get, or what we call the serpent now, was trying to get her to look at his fruit to become an idol. He said, listen, if you take of this, you're going to be just like God. So now what he was doing was promoting an idol. He was actually promoting a desire now. And in this, she took of it, gave it to her husband, and the exchange was made. Now they got put into prison. Are you listening? And the serpent was released. And when he was released, he became Satan. Is everybody okay? You sure? Cool. Now, the idol was the fruit, the promise, a life like God. But that was a lie, wasn't it? The lie, the life, was just like the serpent. So it was exchanging the life of a life like God already, which they already had. Now it became the life of a serpent. So when you and I were born as offsprings of darkness when we came into this realm. We were known as offspring of Satan. And there's something that happened here, and it is so powerful. And when the Spirit began to reveal this to me, it blew my mind, because it's something that he did. One of the successes of Lucifer as a serpent and as Satan, one of his successful, most successful thing that he did was to create a religion. He established a false belief system. He established a religious belief system. Because the word religion means bondage. We'll go more into that. Go to Genesis 11. So the Lord speaking through the righteousness of Noah, through angels, tried to convince his people of the forces of evil and to maintain a relationship with God. And chapter 11 and verse 1, would you read it with me? Now the whole earth had what? One language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. Now, I'm not going to get into this, but they were taught these things by the angels that had put on flesh. There were fallen angels that had put on flesh, and they were from Satan's kingdom. And in this is where your mythical belief systems also came in of Zeus and all of these other, because these were angels who had power and authority. They were known as men of valor, and they're also, and their offsprings, they went into women and they produced offsprings, and they also produced giants and things of that degree. When the Lord destroyed the earth with the flood, those offsprings became demons. So they are disembodied spirits looking for a body. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. We have a whole teaching on that too. It's called demons. Get it? So they were taught certain things to become independent from God and not dependent on God. In verse 4. So they said, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, and let us make a what? Name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Now, we know that the Lord destroyed mankind with the flood, and they were scattered, weren't they? So here they were again, led by the serpent again, or Satan, not knowing the area of the outcome that was going to be. And they were trying to promote themselves again to be like God. And verse 5. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing they purpose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, and they are confused their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. And this is where cultures began. But it's something very powerful, because these were Noah's descendants now, and they were influenced by the ruler Satan, also known as the prince of power of air, and they rejected divine guidance and promoted human pride and self-rule. They rejected divine guidance, and they promoted human pride and self-rule, which is the exact same character as the serpent. They wanted to be like God again. The desire that was established was the idol of self. Offsprings of rebellion towards God, resistance of the truth, self-ruling, self-willed, and self-survival. And this is what has happened on the earth. And this is where we stand. So I want to say welcome to the earth. Hello. Welcome to the earth. That's why we need the anointing to overcome. That's why we need the anointing to make what is unseen to become seen. This is why we need to come out of religiosity and get a relationship. See, what the enemy always tries to do is promote the area of religious belief system and the area where it brings fulfillment to self instead of God's presence. It brings rituals that promote, well, I went to church, I feel good. Well, hopefully you went to church and got in God's presence and just didn't feel good about going to church because that's stinky religion. Are y'all all right? Psalm 36. So Satan's greatest achievement was to establish religion. Jesus did not come to bring religion. He came to bring a kingdom. He came to bring a relationship. Service to the king, not service to self. All glory. Psalm 36. Hallelujah. In verse 1, an oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity, when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. And he what? Does not abhor evil. In other words, there's no fear. He flatters himself. He flatters himself and he ceases to do good. He's no longer, the wisdom from God is no longer established. It's the wisdom from the world. He's no longer wise. This is called wickedness. And he doesn't hate evil, but agrees with it. Satan's greatest accomplishment, again, was not to outwit Eve and Adam, but to establish a religious belief system with idols to keep one bound to the worldly belief system. Bound to the worldly belief system based on bondage, covered by deception, and the idol of self. These are the things that we fight daily because we are impressed. We are impressed with this on a daily basis. Why you're awake and why you sleep. Why? Because the ruler of this world is Satan. His demonic forces are everywhere, and they are coming out of everywhere right now. The increase of demonic activity is quadrupled. The impression that he's impressing in the people, now he's coming against the people of God, you know that. Why? Because you're the only one that can restrain him. So he's going to do everything he can to come against you so that you will not restrain him. And he's trying to promote a belief system or a desire to promote idols. And these idols will encourage a self-belief system and bring us to a religious state so we become ritualistic and fearful. And then there's no longer that area of true relationship. If you recall something very powerful, when the Lord came down on the mountain, he wanted a relationship with his people, the Israelites. And everybody booked. They freaked out. And they said, man, you talk to Moses. We don't want to talk to you. You talk to Moses. So Moses spoke for God to his people. Then the Lord established something called the law. The law. The law became an idol. Are you listening? Because the law, they'd rather have the relationship with the law, the letter, than with the King of Glory. They didn't want a relationship. Then they wanted a king. And the Lord told his prophet to tell him, man, you don't want God as your king. You want a man. He says, look at that man's going to put you in bondage. He's going to tax you, steal from you, and do everything. And they still said, we want a king. Because they were so bound to a religious belief system prior that was passed down from generation to generation that you couldn't have a relationship with God. Think about that. Man, I was brought up in religion, and I couldn't have a relationship with God. Only the ding-dong up there that said a couple scriptures was the only one that could speak for me. How ridiculous. And it's still happening today. And they have idols of women called the Queen of Heaven. And they have idols of statues and all kinds of stuff of all over and different religious things and the religious rituals that if you bow 25 times or you run around a church 13 times and you say 14 Hail Marys or you say 50 Our Fathers, you're forgiven. Hello? That ain't the way it is. Anything to prevent a true relationship and to desire the presence of God is called religion. Everybody okay? Yep. All wickedness and unrighteousness is anything that prevents a relationship with God Almighty and His presence. You mean if I'm a believer, but I'm believing in other things? Listen, there are many believers who are still have many idols in their life. Are you listening? God judges the heart, doesn't He? There are still many people, and even in the body of Christ. Why do you think we have so much division in the body of Christ? Why? Because of the spirit of error. That spirit of error is a demon. He's a spirit that promotes religion. That's why the Lord says, look, and if anybody comes to you with any other doctrine, throw them out. Don't associate. Don't answer the door. I know when I answer the door, I'm ready. Usually I see the bottom of their feet. They come to the door, I say, let's pray. I start praying in tongues and they're gone. Poof. Hallelujah. You know, you can't counsel a demon. The only thing you can do is cast it out. Romans 10. Glory, glory, glory. Romans chapter 10. Is everybody there? Let's start at verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge or according to truth. So there are many people that have a zeal for God or a religious zeal, but not according to truth. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their what? Own righteousness. That's religion. Have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who what? Who believes. See, there was a self-righteousness through religious belief system instead of a relationship with the Creator. Again, the law became their idol of worship instead of the presence of God. Hello? 1 Corinthians 3. And verse 18. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turn in the park on a Sunday. First Corinthians 3:18, would you read it with me? Let no one deceive himself. If any among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in her what? Own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise that are what? Futile. The thoughts of the wise. So the wisdom of this world is what? Foolishness. Foolishness. Now remember, the enemy is always trying to impress you with the wisdom of this world. You know, technology is sky high right now. I mean, it's intense. Man, they know where you are no matter where you are. They know where you are when you don't know where you are. It's wild. It's amazing how people think they can get away with anything. Nobody gets away with nothing no more. But you know, you can never get away with anything from God. He knows where you are too. But he knows what you're thinking. That's even more important. But technology has increased so much that technology has now become an idol. It's become an idol. And it's moved people from hearing the voice of God. Hello? And, you know, they'd rather Google. Don't get me wrong. I mean, there's nothing wrong with Googling. But they want to hear from God. Some people go to Google instead of God.
I need to find something, Lord.
When it was real simple. And if you know, WWW is 666. Did you ever think of that? Pretty wild, huh?
www.666.
Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear. So in this, he is promoting, what do you think the beast is going to be a representation of? In fact, there's one in, where is it at? That huge computer. It's the number large world computer. It's called the beast. And it holds everything globally. I didn't want to get into any of this, but praise God. And in this, the powers of darkness are impressing. The purpose is to move people away from the relationship with their Creator in His presence, to promote a religious belief system and bring God's people back into bondage. You know, work can be an idol. Yourself can be an idol. You know, one of the things he brings people into, an idol will also promote addiction. It promotes an addictive personality. Did you ever hear somebody who's a workaholic? Well, that's how they're still, that demon is still there. So now they become a workaholic, but they're workaholic because of fulfillment of self. Well, I'm trying to get my business going. Yes, I got to work 90,000 hours a week. Well, that's promotion of self. So you're building your own empire. No, I'm doing it for the Lord. No, you're not. You're doing it for you. These are idols. You know, it's amazing how many people serve their talent. Their talent now becomes an idol when we're supposed to be serving God. Oh, yes, the Lord blessed me with this wonderful talent. Well, now they serve the talent instead of allowing God to establish it. Has everybody got it? So now their talent becomes their idol because they don't maintain that relationship with the Lord to hear His voice and maintain the presence of God to receive that conviction. So now their work becomes an idol. Their talent becomes an idol. Their abilities become an idol. Even their athletic abilities can become an idol. Man, you see some of these football players, they make a touchdown and they turn into a gorilla. They're beating their chest. That's nothing but pure pride. Now, some of them, they get on their knees and give God the glory. There's a difference. That means they're still worshiping the Lord, not the idol. And this is what the enemy's trying to do in a great way. And I'm telling you, I'm watching believers fall out of position. Because these desires, that the impression that the enemy is doing is causing individuals to be promoted by idols. Influence for idols. And moving them out of position. Ephesians 5, please. Sure got hot in here. Verse 15. Read it, please. See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, Redeem any time because the days are what? The days are what? The days are what? Evil. Evil. And why are they evil? Because the rule of this world is Satan. And his demonic forces are increasing. And they are causing a impression by their spiritual realm, by witchcraft and demonic influence, to promote desires as idols. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dispensation, but be filled with what? The Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wow. So he's saying, listen, get filled. Stay filled with the Spirit. Why? Because the anointing is what you need to survive. Remember, we talked about the anointing last week, or last teaching, whatever it was. Because the anointing, without the anointing, it's impossible to overcome. You cannot overcome without the anointing. Religion will not overcome the powers of darkness. Won't work. Go to James 4. So the days are evil. Need the anointing. The prince of power. Yes, the presence of God. Not the prince of power of air. The true. The king of glory. The power above all powers. The truth. So we need the eternal, the anointing, which is the presence, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, to overcome the impression, the sway, and influence of the world by the unseen kingdom of Satan. James chapter 4. Is everybody there? Verse 1. It says what? Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Woo. These desires. These desires, in other words, your flesh is what representation of the offspring of darkness. Has everybody got it? So there are desires in there, but there's an influence to activate these desires. Why? Because if you're led by the Spirit, your flesh is crucified. So religious belief system, which is a false belief system, will cause an individual not to overcome these desires, but to submit to them. And in this, it promotes an area of idolatry. Let's go a little further. It says, you lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your what? Your pleasures, those desires to promote idols. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So there is a world belief system called religion. Do you think that the scripture says, in vain the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So the world religious system always promotes pride. Religious pride. Verse 7, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the only way to resist the devil is to submit to God. In other words, the true belief system. The desires are the influence of darkness to promote an idol, fulfilling a religious state of being with bondage to a self agenda. Matthew 7. Welcome to the earth. Attested citizenship of eternity. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 13. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. So he's saying, listen, now that you are on this earth as a believer, your walk will be difficult. It's going to be narrow and difficult because the impressions of the powers of darkness are going to impress you with desires to promotion, to maintain an idol instead of the presence of God and the truth of God or the anointing of Christ. Go to 2 Corinthians 3. Almost done, about 20 more scriptures. I'm only kidding. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 4. Let's read it. And we have such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit, which means of the anointing. Because the letter kills, it brings bondage. But the spirit gives what? Life. But if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the spirit or the ministry of the anointing not be more glorious? Yes. The ministry of the anointing to come. In other words, the ministry of the anointing was granted to me and you to come out of the imprisonment of religion. To come out of the imprisonment of a religious belief system, which is actually a worldly belief system, which was Satan's greatest accomplishment in this world, was to promote religion. And Galatians chapter 5. Everyone say, without the anointing, I'm nothing. Welcome to the earth. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or freedom by which Christ has made us free from religion. And do not be entangled again by the yoke of bondage of religion. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the law. You have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through what? Love. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven, which means evil, leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you in the Lord that you'll have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased. I could wish that those who trouble you would even be cut themselves off from you. For you, brethren, have been called to freedom. Only do not use this liberty or freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And that's where the enemy loves to come in. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Whoa. We are free from the yoke of the one world religion that will be forced on people with fear and ritual. It's coming. It's here. It's happening. We must maintain consistency. We must maintain consistency to fight for the presence of God and maintain the truth. And of course, we know the key to consistency is something very important, and it is called the desire to please Him. So the key to consistency is a desire to please Him. When you lose the desire to please Him, you will lose consistency. You will begin to justify compromise in reason. You will no longer fight for the presence of God. You'll begin to exchange it for something else. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. I'm sharing with you again that the influence is probably at its high level, and it's going to continue to get higher. Romans 1 verse 18. Please read it with me. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were hardened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And that's what the powers of darkness are trying to do right now. It's amazing to me where people are beginning to worship the creation. You know, they're actually, you know, there's a there was a documentary on TV, and it was about in California where they shut down a valley that was supposed to be like 30,000 acres that helps feed brings about a third of the food or something like this into our country. I mean, you know, in our country. And they shut it down because they did no longer want to support that valley and that land with water, because by taking that water and producing produce and so forth, it was killing this little fishy. That's the environmentalists, you know. But the whole purpose of this is to downgrade our country so that we fall into place of one world order. So they're trying to take away everything. Do you understand that? They're trying to take away everything. Everything could have been prevented. We know that. It's all a fulfillment of prophecy. But we cannot fall into its religious belief system and become dependent on a government. We are a part of a government. It is an eternal government that will never end. And our King is Jesus Christ, and our governor is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Romans 8? Glory. 8:18. Welcome to the earth. And would you read this with me? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Yes!
For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Who's that? Us! Even God's creation is waiting for me and you to pop. Yeah. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself also be delivered from the bondage of corruption and to the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's us. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and redemption of our body. That glorified body.
Yes.
No more aches and pains. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. All praise be to God. Verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And I'm going to close at Psalm 101. Welcome to the earth. Praise God, you have dominion. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Right? In other words, bear more fruit and believers will multiply. Hello. As you bear more fruit, believers will multiply. Psalm 101. Let's read it together. I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing. I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall depart from me. I will not know wickedness. Whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The one who has a haughty look and a proud heart, him I will not endure. My eyes shall be on the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He who works deceit shall not dwell within my house. He who tells lies shall not continue in my presence. Early I will destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the evildoers from the city of the Lord. In other words, we must be restrainers of evil. We must bear more fruit, which will produce more believers. Remember, we are no longer of this world, even though we live in this world. We are no longer a humanite, we are an eternal light. Our blood no longer runs from our ancestors, it runs from the throne of God. We have been set free from religion and the religious world system. We are no longer of this government or of this kingdom. We are born again of the kingdom of Christ. We are servants to the anointing. We are stewards to the mysteries of God. And we are ambassadors to the kingdom of God. Do not lose sight of who you are and the promises that God has granted to you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that the seed would grow and bear fruit for your glory, be imparted in us, that it be protected by the blood and the fire of Christ. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.